In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
If you love the smoked meat, then you might disagree. But when I think of Montreal's signature food, I think of bagels. If you've ever been inside one of the city's iconic bageleries, I want you to close your eyes and think about it right now. I bet you can smell it. Today's story, though, goes beyond these smells and tastes. The bagel is woven into the fabric of Montreal's cultural and religious history. And two institutions in particular are at the heart of all of it. These family businesses make bagels in a way unique to the city. They're famous for it. And they do it using huge wood-burning ovens. And they're located right in the middle of residential neighborhoods. And in the era of environmental awareness, you might guess where this is going.
Well, it appears that bagels and pizza and barbecue chicken have been put on notice in Montreal. The city has plans to crack down on wood ovens in restaurants. And restaurants that use charcoal might be affected as well.
The city of Montreal says it won't actually force the iconic bagel institutions to shut down their ovens. But they are going to prevent any new businesses from operating the same way. And what the year-long controversy over the future of wood-burning ovens has forced us to grapple with is this: what is Montreal without Montreal bagels? How do certain types of foods come to define a city? And what happens when the way you make those foods becomes a hazard? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Dan Bilewski is the New York Times Canada correspondent, based in Montreal, not far from the bakeries. Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
First of all, I got to ask you, because this is a question that will set up the rest of this interview. Are you a Fairmont bagel guy or a Saint-Viateur bagel guy?
Are you trying to get me deported from Montreal? I mean, this is a religious question in this city, and so I'm not sure I can give my allegiance on which place. But I can say that the key to winning my heart over a bagel is serving me one hot right out of the oven. And I think that wins the day when it comes to, you know, Saint-V versus Fairmont.
So what happens when you start asking Montrealers about bagels and you tell them this is for the New York Times?
Well, bagels are a culinary fault line in Montreal. Like, choosing between Saint-Viateur or Fairmont is a bit like choosing between, you know, the Mets or the Yankees in New York City. But in general, Montrealers are very proud of their bagels. It's one of the few things that unites Quebecers. So I think when the New York Times shows interest in bagels, people are generally delighted by the global interest.
One of the things you did that fascinated me, because I've been to both of these places and did not quite assimilate the history, is how far these two institutions go back. Can you sort of talk a little bit about the history of these institutions?
Sure. I mean, one of the most fascinating things about this story was learning about the history of both bagel places, which are part of the social fabric of the city, but also part of the Jewish history of Montreal. So Fairmont Bagel, which claims to be the oldest, is owned by the Schlafman family, and Erwin Schlafman's grandfather came over from Kiev in 1919, originally had a bagel stand in an area of the city, you know, known as Plateau Montréal, also known as the Main, and it was a bagel place down an alleyway near Schwartz's, another iconic Jewish deli. And, you know, generations later, three generations later, Erwin now runs Fairmont. Saint-Viateur, which is a few blocks away in this hipster neighborhood called Mile End, was founded by a Holocaust survivor and another colleague, I believe in the 1950s, 1957. And a young Italian immigrant boy called Joe Morena came to roll bagels when he was, you know, 12 years old. the Holocaust survivor became like a father to him, and then eventually he took over the business. So it's a wonderful kind of emblem of multicultural Montreal.
Is there a rivalry between the two?
It's sort of, I think one of the funniest, darkest comments someone made about my story is that it's not so much Mets versus Yankees as Sunni versus Shia. As to whether
that
you
is
choose
a little dark.
Fairmount or San Vietura. I mean, obviously that's an over-the-top analogy. But yes, there's an incredible rivalry. Both claim to be the oldest bagel place in Montreal. San Vietura takes issue with the fact that Fairmount says it's the oldest because Fairmount was closed for a time. As if that wasn't enough, Fairmount says that all bagels are perfectly symmetrical. And the owner of San Vietura says, nonsense, you know, all bagels are like snowflakes. Each one has a different shape. And then Fairmount, you know, also has the bragging rights of saying that its bagels were the first to go to outer space because the owner of Fairmount's cousin is a Canadian astronaut who took 16 sesame seed bagels to the International Space Station several years ago. So the rivalry is pretty intense, but also cordial.
What is so special about Montreal bagels in particular, like just as foodstuffs, what makes them different?
You know, I have to say, having lived in London, Paris, Brussels, Istanbul, Prague, and I'm a massive foodie, I mean, there's just this wonderful alchemy of the Montreal bagel that's hard to replicate anywhere else in the world, you know, in particular compared to other bagels like London and Toronto. The key to the Montreal bagel is that it is boiled in honey-infused water before being baked in a wood-burning oven. And, you know, it's just absolutely delicious. You eat it hot out of the bag. And, you know, it's one of those beautiful Montreal moments.
Can you put your finger on any taste or texture differences between the two Montreal bageleries?
I think the main thing I've noticed is that the Saint Viateur bagels seem to have bigger holes than the Fairmount bagels. The Fairmount bagels perhaps back Erwin Schlafman's claim, you know, that they're more symmetrical. Maybe they're a little bit more dainty looking. The San Vietura ones look, I guess, if you use the snowflake analogy, they all do seem to be a bit different looking and a bit bigger. They seem to have more girth. But people have done blind taste tests and are unable to distinguish between the two.
We wanted to talk to you today because there's so much history and cultural significance here, but there's also change coming, potentially. What is happening now to bagels in Montreal?
Well, the link of this story was the fact that neighbors of both bagel places in the hipster Mile End neighborhood, this bourgeois bohemian neighborhood near the plateau of Montreal, are complaining about the pollution caused by the wood burning ovens, which produce, you know, particulates, which can lead to respiratory problems, aggravate respiratory problems like asthma, and produce pollutants like benzene. So neighbors are unhappy. Some neighbors are unhappy about the environmental implications of the wood burning ovens. The city is considering a number of things, one of which is passing, you know, a bylaw that would force wood burning oven businesses to install filters. And so it's created this kind of bagel battle or bagel war, if you will, between people who want to safeguard the lore and culture of bagel making and environmentalists who argue, you know, that the bagels come at too high a price, that the environmental implications are too dire and that these wood burning ovens should be phased out.
This is maybe a dumb question because there's only a few of these places, but do we have any actual evidence beyond anecdotal that these ovens are causing harm?
Yes. I mean, it all depends on the degree of harm, but you know, there is scientific evidence that, you know, these ovens do produce particulates, that they do emit benzene, and, you know, there's a real health and environmental hazard. However, you know, one must calibrate that against other, you know, more egregious forms of pollution and climate change, you know, causing lorry trucks and ambulances and et cetera. So I guess everything is relative, but you know, the city itself has done, you know, studies showing that the ovens are harmful.
What is this like as a political issue for the city, given all the culture that we've just mentioned?
Well, I think it's a very sensitive issue for the city because bagels in particular are so much a part of the cultural lore. Also, the Portuguese immigrant community in Montreal, you know, are known for having rotisserie chicken places, and, you know, the Italian community has pizzeria. So, I mean, it's not just the bagel. So there's an economic point to it. It brings, it's part of the tourism industry. It's part of local commerce. And then people in Montreal feel very proud of the bagels, so they say, lay off my bagels. So I think the city is being very careful. They've grandfathered some of the places, you know, the places that already have the ovens are allowed to have them. It's the new places that are likely to face a clampdown.
Is there any way to, I think you mentioned filters, to like mitigate some of the effects while still allowing these ovens to work?
Yes. So the city is also considering laws requiring these ovens to have filters. Fairmont has actually already installed a filter, although the neighbors complain that the smoke is still coming out of the chimney and bothering them. And Saint-Viateur has put filters in one of its ovens. It has seven different shops. There's also eco logs that are more environmentally friendly than wood. So there are ways of mitigating the environmental and health effects of the ovens while allowing them to remain in place.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Can you make bagels the way that these places do without a wood-burning oven? Like, do you know, when you talk to them, what it would do to the actual cooking process, baking process?
Yes. So you can actually make bagels with any heat source, whether it's gas or some other heat source. And in fact, the Fairmount owner, Erwin Schlafman, has gone on the record saying that he thinks that the bagels would probably taste the same if they were made not in a wood-burning oven. But I think as long as Saint-Viateur has a wood-burning oven, and because the cultural lore of the making the bagel, the oven is part and parcel of that, I don't think either gentleman want to streamline or get rid of the ovens because it's also part of the lore of the bagel.
Do you have an idea where the public stands on it? I assume inside the neighborhood, they're far more concerned about the particulates, but the rest of Montreal?
You know, I don't have any like scientific polling to give an emphatic response on that. I can only base it on my own very amateurish anecdotal polling in the neighborhood and beyond. I mean, Montreal is a pretty left-wing, environmentally friendly city. Certainly in Mile End, you know, people are very polarized, but I would say that on the whole, the proponents of the bagel outnumber the people who are worried about the ovens. People feel that the sheer joy of having a Montreal bagel, the symbolism of what the Montreal bagel means as a kind of doughy unifier in the city, trumps whatever environmental concerns some people may have.
Do we have an idea of what happens next or if there's a timeline for this? I mean, I'm assuming there's still some wrangling to be done before the city moves forward with anything.
Well, what the city told me, I spoke to City Hall and they told me that they are considering, you know, legislation on requiring filters. And then you have two boroughs in the city which have already banned, you know, new businesses from using wood-burning ovens, one of which is actually the Plateau Montréal, where both these places are located. So there are already rules in train trying to mitigate against this.
Where does this all end up 10, 20 years down the line? Is this kind of like the inevitable small impacts of climate change on our historical culture of different cities?
Look, I think part of why this bagel story has resonated with so many people, I think it cuts at the question. We all want to be good global citizens and mitigate against climate change. But when it comes to having to sacrifice something we love, like our morning bagel, you know, it's considered a step too far. So I think these kinds of debates will continue to go on for years. But I think given the fact that the bagels have been around for 100 years in Montreal, they will likely stand the test of time and be around 20 years from now, but the technology will get better and better to mitigate against the negative pollution effects would be my guess.
I mean, you kind of hit on the reason that we wanted to talk to you about this story is that we talk about climate change a lot on this podcast and the environmental impacts of everything. And we're very much pro legislation that tries to solve that problem. Except I love Montreal bagels. And like, I can't imagine a world where Fairmont Bagelry doesn't look and smell and taste the way it has since I was a kid. And to your point at the very beginning, like, are we wasting time trying to fix things like this when there's clearly so much other bigger fish to fry out there?
That's kind of how I feel about it. And I think after reporting the story, you know, I dare say that having a bagel is going to be a guilty pleasure from now on, because I'm, you know, I'll be thinking about the environmental implications of these wood burning ovens. But at the end of the day, you know, there are bigger fish to fry. There are more egregious producers of pollution and emissions than these ovens, I would guess. So, you know, we're constantly having to weigh these things in our lives, and we want to be good global citizens. But at the end of the day, as one environmental scientist said to me, some things just bring you comfort and joy. And one of those things, you know, is the bagel.
Thank you for helping us unpack this. Do you put anything on your bagels, or do you eat them plain?
My favorite thing is to eat the bagels plain. And, you know, my abiding memory as a kid growing up in Montreal is being sent by my mother to buy bagels, getting them hot, piping hot out of the oven in a brown paper bag, walking home with the snow battering my face and shoving two or three of them in my mouth guiltily and feeling that life was good.
Oh, God, I'm so hungry right now.
Me too. I might have to go see those guys. They're still talking to me.
Thanks, Dan, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Dan Bilevsky, the New York Times Canada correspondent, based in Montreal. That was The Big Story. If you want more, know more about bagels, though. You can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. We've got everything there. You can also find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. I'm going to do a poll, and you can tell me which bagelry you prefer. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Frequency Pods, and you can go to your favorite podcast player. You can give us 5 whole stars. Leave a comment, too. That's how people know you like us, and we want them to like us, too. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk on Monday.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.